mama won't mind if I sugar you up before supper.
Now you're talking. Can I help decorate?
Go wash your hands first. Come in.
Hey, Lena. I've got a big old package for you here. This one is not even from Amazon.
Are you making fun of my online shopping habits again, Ted?
Why, no. You're single-handedly keeping me employed this holiday season. It's pretty big. You need me to bring it in for you?
Yeah, that'd be great.
All right.
You can set it right here.
Okay. And I just need you to sign right here. All right, thank you. See you again tomorrow.
Ha, ha, ha. I wouldn't be surprised, Mr. Funny Guy.
Merry Christmas.
What is that?
I have absolutely no idea, but here's a letter on top. It looks like it's from a law firm. Maybe it'll explain. ...of Mr. Alfred Dunning. Mr. Dunning has passed away, and it was his desire that you have these items, which he believed you would recognize from many years ago.
Wow, did you know this Mr. whoever he was?
Mr. Dunning was my grandfather, but I hadn't seen him or my grandmother since I was a little girl. You see, my parents divorced, and my mom and me moved across the country, and my dad kind of checked out of my life. So sadly, I lost touch with him and my grandmother. Let's see what it is.
It looks just like a bunch of tissue paper.
The tissue paper's wrapped around it. It's some sheep. Oh, I think I know what it is. It's the nativity scene my grandparents used to put out every year. I used to love playing with it.
Cool. Can we get it out and set it all up?
Yeah, but to be honest, you're going to have to help me because when we moved, we stopped going to church, and so I don't know how the Christmas story goes anymore.
Seriously? I thought everybody knew the story of how Jesus was born. Don't worry, Miss Lena. I'll be glad to show you where everything goes. You see this piece? It's a little shepherd boy. You remember the shepherds in the story? They were out on the hills watching their sheep the night Jesus was born, but they ended up in the middle of it by the time it was all over.
Thank you.
But then the angel said he's got good news, because the Savior has been born that night in Bethlehem, and tells them to go, and they'll find him wrapped up and sleeping in a manger. Miss Lena, that's the thing they put hay in for animals, and the Savior that's Jesus.
So the shepherds go off to find him?
Well, not right away, because then all of a sudden there's a whole sky full of angels, and they're singing. Let's see if there are any more angels wrapped up in this box.
Today. Still need me to check out that problem for you?
Yes, I'm so glad you made it to me today. Come on in.
Wow, what do we have here?
Miss Lena's grandpa died, and he left it to her in his will.
Miss Lena, your grandpa died? I'm so sorry.
Thanks. It upsets me that I lost touch with them, because unwrapping all of this, you're bringing back lots of memories.
Well, I see the shepherds and the sheep and the angels, but where's the stable?
It's in there, but it's pretty big.
Oh, would you like for me to lift it out for you?
Oh, sure. That'd be great.
Lena doesn't really know the Christmas story, so I've been trying to tell it to her as we go along. Here's Mary and Joseph.
Oh, I think I remember them.
I know that Jesus was sleeping in a manger when the shepherds came to find him, but I don't really remember why.
Just so happens, I can help with that. In my toolbox here, I've got my little Bible, and I carry it with me everywhere I go, and when I have some downtime, sometimes I'll do a little reading. If I remember right, I believe that that story is in Luke 2. Yes, it is. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Okay, little pieces are coming back to me now. Mary and Joseph were engaged, but then the Holy Spirit was coming to Mary and telling her that she was going to have a baby. Is that right?
Yeah, you're remembering just right. And then Joseph, he didn't know exactly what to do.
But then Joseph had a dream, I think.
Good girl, Abby. In the dream, an angel told Joseph that Mary's baby was very, very special because he was from the Holy Spirit, and he shouldn't be afraid to take Mary as his wife.
It's beginning to feel like it was just yesterday when I was at my grandparents' house playing with these. My parents would get so nervous that I'd break them, but my grandfather said it didn't matter, that I could play with them all I want. And then my grandfather, he would tell me the Christmas story, just like you did, Joe.
You okay, Miss Lena?
Yeah, it's just all these memories are coming back to me. Memories I haven't thought of in a long time, about my grandparents and this whole Christmas story. Let's put them in.
Thank you.
manger scene set, and she doesn't really know the Christmas story, so I've been trying to tell it to her as we go along. And then Mr. Joe came in and he read part of it.
Slow down.
But come look, Mom.
Wow, this is beautiful.
Miss Lena's grandpa died, and he left it to her in his will.
Miss Lena, you told me you haven't seen either one of your grandparents in quite some time. But still, I'm sorry. You know, they must have loved you very much to be thinking of you all this time.
Yeah, it really upsets me that I lost touch with them, because now it's too late.
Well, I see Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the sheep. I like the way y'all have arranged the angels in the background, but somebody's missing.
Baby Jesus. We just haven't unwrapped him yet, Mom.
We can't really have Christmas without Jesus now, can you?
Here's Jesus.
We found him at last. You want to put him in there, Abby?
No, you do it, Miss Lena. I think your grandma and grandpa would really like that.
So the shepherds came and found him, just like the angels said they would. Then what happened?
They worshipped him. See, when the angel told them that a Savior had been born, that meant something very special to the shepherds. Their people had been waiting for hundreds and hundreds of years for God to keep a promise that he had made to them. God had said that one day they would have a Savior, someone who would come and rescue them from their enemies.
Well, the name Jesus does mean Savior.
The angel said he was their Savior, and he really was.
Yes, hundreds of years before, the prophet Isaiah had said his name would be Emmanuel. That means God with us. And that's really one of the best parts of the story, because Jesus came. God is with us.
Oh, so that's why one of the shepherds is kneeling.
I guess when they got to the manger and saw Jesus, it just made sense.
Peace on earth. What a delight.
wise men, right? That's who they are. But to be factually correct, the wise men weren't even there at the manger scene. They came much later.
Wait a minute. That can't be right. They're always in the Christmas story.
Oh, they're in the story. Do you remember that there was a new star that God had put into the sky? And when the wise men saw it up there, they knew that something very important had happened. So they probably had studied up and decided that a new ruler had been born.
Wait a minute. To get this right, I'm going to have to put these guys in the other room.
It's okay with me if you want to put them right here, Miss Lena. I don't think Jesus will mind, and they were on their way with their gifts following the star.
And when they found him, they did the same thing the shepherds did. They worshipped him.
Hallelujah.
should be empty, shouldn't it? We've got Mary and Joseph, Jesus, the shepherds, and the angels.
And the wise men, even though they weren't exactly there.
There's one more bundle in here. Here, Miss Lena, it's your turn to open.
What in the world could that be?
Oh, I can't believe it. It's me.
It's you?
Yeah, when I was a little girl, I told my grandmother I wanted to be a part of the Christmas story, to be able to watch over baby Jesus. So the next time I came to her house, I brought that little girl from my set at home. It's silly now that I think about it. She doesn't even come close to matching the rest of the set. But my grandmother said it didn't matter, that it fit perfectly and that I could put her in there. And then when Christmas was over, she just wrapped her up and stored her away with the rest of the nativity set.
Well, isn't that just the sweetest thing? You know what I think? I think every year that they got this nativity out, even though they had lost you, they never forgot you.
It's kind of like they kept you with them.
Yeah, imagine that.
Well, go on, Miss Lena. Put yourself where you belong. That's good, Miss Lena. Now you can see Jesus and worship him too.
Oh,
Well, it looks like the scene is all complete. Would you like for me to move this carton out of the way for you?
That'd be great. Thank you.
Hey, did you see this? It looks like there's a letter in the bottom, and it's got your name on it.
Dear Lena, if you're reading this letter, it means that God has taken me to heaven to be with Him. Even though I can't be with you in person, I want you to know how much your grandma and I love you and have always loved you. It broke our hearts when you moved away and we didn't get to see you or talk to you anymore. But we have never stopped praying for you. We prayed that God would keep His hand on your life and that somehow He would make His presence and His love clear to you. Even though it is too late for us to be together on this earth, I am praying that we will be together again in heaven one day. It can happen if you put your trust in Jesus as your Savior. You always loved this nativity set so much. I hope you know that the story represented by it is a true one. Jesus really was God's Son, and He really was born that night in Bethlehem so long ago. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. But the story doesn't end with the manger. Jesus grew up, He loved people and healed people, and eventually He died on a cross. He took my place and He took your place, and He died for all the things that we have done wrong. It's hard to explain it all in a letter, but I'm praying with all my heart that God will provide Christian friends to tell you the story and to show you that what the Bible says so that you know Jesus as your Savior. Ask God to help you know Him, and He will. I'm believing that God will answer my prayer and that one day we will be together again in heaven. Love, Grandpa.
Miss Lena, I believe God answers prayers. And I believe that God is answering your grandpa's prayers right in front of our eyes. Miss Lena, I can share what Jesus did on the cross if you'd like to hear it.
Of course I do. I want to hear it all.
Lena wants to hear it all. Can I tell you that I have it all? And it's found in this book. It's called the Bible. It's got all the answers that we need. It's got the story of who God is and how God came to save us. And so she wants to hear it all, so I'm going to tell it to you all. I'm going to start at the very beginning. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and He separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening. There was morning the first day. And over the next 4 days, God continued in His creation, speaking things into existence. God spoke and things were created. He told the waters where to stop, the land where to start, mountains to go up, valleys to go down. He placed a fruit tree here and a fruit tree there as He saw fit. He placed the stars in the sky and called each one by name. He made the moon reflect the sun. He made the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, the beasts of the land. He made the very breath that we breathe at this very moment. And in verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." And so God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. God created all things, even us, not just a few of us, but all of us. God created all things and yet He still sustains all things. So this God, on the day of creation, tells the planets to place themselves in orbit in a specific place. And He tells the stars, and He calls them by name, and He puts them in a specific place in the sky, and they obey. And then we, created in God's image, tell God no. We shake our fist at God and we say, no. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Isaiah 53:6 says, "All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way." John 3:19, "The light has come into the world, and the people love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil." See, we're all sinners. We've all broken God's law. So if you've ever told a lie, you've ever stolen, that makes you a liar and a thief. So I ask you, have you ever committed adultery? Jesus said that anyone who looks on another person with lust has already committed adultery in his heart. So I don't have time to go through all 613 laws in the Mosaic Covenant. But I can guarantee you, by the authority of Scripture, that you have broken one. And that's all you have to do is break one. So what do you call a person who sins? A sinner. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we all have one thing in common in this room. We're all sinners. We also have another thing in common. We also all have a great need for a Savior. We have a great need. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." And we're sinners. For the wages of sin is death. We all deserve death. And now we pick up with our nativity scene. I hope I've brought you up to where we are and why it's so important the Savior has been born. Because we, across this room, have a great need. God sent His Son. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was born in a manger, fully man, yet fully God. He lived on earth in the flesh. And Jesus knows what it's like to be tempted, to suffer through trials, be hungry and thirsty. And He persevered through all of it. He remained sinless. So if God is holy and just and righteous, how can He forgive any of us of our sins? God cannot allow sin in His presence. God cannot allow sinners into His presence, which we have established that you and I are. The Bible says in Isaiah that it pleased God to crush him. That it pleased God to crush His one and only Son. So God, out of a great love for His people, people created in His own image, sacrificed His own Son on a wooden cross. Verse 6. "And the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet He did not open His mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. God had Jesus slaughtered on the cross out of grace and mercy and love for his people. That was great enough to pay for all the sins of those who would believe. But God wasn't finished. See, Jesus died and was buried, and for 3 days he lay in the tomb. But the grave couldn't keep him. And God reached down with his mighty arm of dominion and authority and his sovereignty over all things, and he rose Jesus from the grave. In the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. A flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? So I proclaim to you tonight that today is the day of salvation, that it has been accomplished through the birth of a Savior. There is forgiveness of sin through Jesus Christ, but you must repent and believe. Acts 4:12 says, and there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, but who God raised from the dead. So, Miss Lena, this is what your grandpa wanted you and everyone else here to hear tonight. That Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. As our instruments play, Brother Stephen, would you come forward? You've heard the gospel, and we believe that the gospel saves. So if you feel that God is calling you, salvation, we'd like for you to come down front and pray at the altar. This altar is open to anyone. Brother Stephen will be down front. He can answer some questions if you've got questions. Is there anyone here who needs forgiveness of sins, who needs a Savior? Good God, our great God. Father, you have accomplished a mighty thing. God, you have accomplished salvation for your people. So, God, we are forever grateful that you sent a Savior to be born. And, God, we look forward to your coming. Lord Jesus, we pray, come soon. Come soon, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray.
Lift up our eyes.
well, I'd better finish up my work. I've gotten so caught up in this beautiful nativity scene that I almost forgot your faucets broke. But hey, before we leave it entirely, I want to invite you guys to my church next week. We're going to do something very special. We're going to do a live nativity scene.
Cool. Can we go, Mom? Miss Lena, will you go with us?
I'd love to go. Now that I know what this story is all about, it'll make so much more sense. But really, I can't see how it can get any better than what I've heard today.
It's time for us, Abby, to get home and get supper on the table. Where is your backpack?
It's over here.
If you'd like to go on Friday evening, my wife and I would be glad to drive.
Sounds like a great plan to me.
Great, I'll let you both know what time.
Miss Lena, could I maybe add something to the manger?
What do you want to add?
This doll. I thought she could maybe meet me and stand beside you in the manger.
Abby, I think that's a fantastic idea. Go ahead and put her wherever you want.
Cool.
To the